Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that God has called the church with three commands, that we are to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why you're here today, because we're reaching out to you. We are loving you, others, that we may all go together with the knowledge of loving God. Amen, church? So to that, we continue every Sunday, and I pray every Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and all the rest of the days of the week, practicing and upholding these three truths, that in them all of the Scriptures may be alive unto us and through us. So we're going to continue in our series in the book of Mark. So turn in your Bibles to chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 21. And I've entitled this, God Restores and God Honors. There's two stories here that we're going to look at. It's actually one story, but it involves two different individuals and two different situations. But it's one story. And in this one story, we're going to see how God truly does restore and how God honors each and every one of us depending upon our needs here on this earth. And in that, we are to remember that we are to help restore people and that we are to help honor people in this world, because that's part of loving God, loving others, and going. So as we read these words, may the word of the Lord transform our lives and bring us that saving grace and the power therein through our Savior Jesus the Christ. For thus saith the word of the Lord from the 21st verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, "If I just touch his garment, I will get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, when we read these words and we look at this, and you know, I've heard many teachings on this, and I've taught on it many times before, that God meets us where we are and He fills our needs, and we just have to live by faith, right? You know, we've all heard that in this teaching. Well, one of the things I want you to understand is this goes a little bit deeper. Again, what's the one big idea? God restores and God honors. It's all the same topic here. God restores and God honors. How did God restore this woman? Well, I want you to look at what it says here to us in verse 25 and 26. In 25 and 26, it tells us that this woman had a 12-year affliction, and she was hemorrhaging. And many physicians had worked on her, but they actually made it worse rather than better. Now, I could talk a whole lot about our pharmaceutical and about our medical and just how they mess people up with all the drugs that they give us that have side effects that are horrible. And they know it because they sell drugs for the drugs that they sell. But I won't go there, even though it seems like I just did. Where I will go is to this. This woman was unclean for 12 years. Do you have any idea what that meant in this society? She could not go into worship. She could not go into the temple. She could not come before the Lord to have her sins forgiven because she was unclean. She could not because of their laws. But yet here Jesus is, the Messiah, is there, and she comes to him. She's coming just like us. We're all filthy. We all have filth upon us, unregenerate sin. And we try to do everything we can in our lives to make it better. And how many of us get driven by our past and the mistakes that we have made? And they hold us back from any kind of future. Jesus is here to restore us, to bring us back to a place of cleanliness, that we may stand before a holy God, that we may be one with him, and nothing of this past, even if you're working on it now, nothing of this past holds over us. He holds us in the palm of his hand. This woman, by faith, believing, walked up to this man. She didn't say, I need to hug him. She didn't say, I need to touch him. She said, the hem of his garment. Just the littlest touch. Not even him, but his garment. How many of us feel unworthy to come before the Lord? How many of us feel unworthy to walk into the presence of the Lord? I have heard from many people, oh, if I walk into the church, it'll burn down. I ain't never seen it happen. Because that's not the God we serve. The God we serve says, believe. Just believe. Just by the tiniest bit. And I'm there for you. With you, and I'll heal you. I'll bring you that restoration. I will restore who you are. I will put you on the pedestal that you will no longer be this thing that everybody is reproached, but you will be the daughter or the son of the King of Kings of who we sung of today. And you and I will stand in glory and judge the angels. Is that restoration? That's far more than restoration. That's regeneration upon regeneration upon regeneration to a glory that none of us deserve, but it's a glory that God wants to bestow upon each and every one of us. But the evil one wants us to doubt. She did not want anybody to know what happened to her. And God says, oh no, sister. Everybody here knows you're unclean. I'm going to make sure they know you are clean. I'm going to make sure that they see that you have been healed. I'm going to make sure that you are restored in this day, now, not 2 years from now, not 2 weeks from now, not 2 days from now, not 2 hours from now, now. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. He knows that we are down. He knows that the world wants to tear us down. And the moment we receive from him, he raises us up. And he is going to restore us at that moment. I think it's funny because the disciples looked at him and said, Jesus, wait a minute. All these people are pressing in on you and you're looking for one person that touched you? He said, yeah, because one person believed by faith and that's the one I want to talk to. The church is full of people who show up, but how many of them believe? The world is full of people who say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but how many of them have that relationship where they're willing to walk up to our Savior and literally touch him? Physical contact, because that's what God wants. He wants spiritual contact in your being, with you. Not something that's of the mind, but something that is otherworldly. For we live in a kingdom that we can't see, but we live in a kingdom that we can know. Can I get an amen, church? And that is the spirit kingdom, where we know our Lord and Savior. When He speaks to us, we know His voice. When He touches us, we know His touch. There's a story out there, and I love this story. This little girl, when she was born with a debilitating disease that was going to lead unto her death. She was terminal from her birth. She was in NICU, and they told her that she only has a 5%, and this is a true story, she has a 5% chance of living. Well, years later, and this little girl had survived, and she was like 6 years old, and she was with her mom and dad, and she had an older brother, and they were at his baseball game, and they're sitting there, and the storm clouds are rumbling and rolling, and they're getting ready to call the ball game because, you know, it's going to rain. It's lightning and thundering, and this little girl is just sitting there while everybody's collecting their stuff, and they're all headed to the car because, you know, hey, this thing's going to bust loose at any moment. And this little girl is just sitting there on the aluminum risers, right? And she's just going like this and just dancing. And her mom says, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" And she says, "Oh, can't you smell him? Can't you smell him?" And she says, "What are you talking about? Can't I smell him?" She said, "When I was just a little baby, I can remember." Now, this is a five-year-old. She's talking about when she was in NICU. This little girl says, "I can remember. And do you smell the rain?" She says, and the whole time she's just doing this. Because in NICU, what do? They fold these children up. And she's just doing this. And she says, "When I was little," she said, "whenever Jesus would come and hold me, I could smell him. And he smells like the rain." You see, God wants us to know. He wants us to know. He wants us to know who he is. He's not one of, "Oh, yep, okay, you can have that." He wants to stop and address you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants the glory that is his, that you can then take it with permission and use it in the power that it was sent. Can I get an amen? When we do these things and it's just, "Oh, it's just this inward thing. You know, I have this private faith." You don't have faith. Faith is not private. Faith goes out into the world and changes other people. It changed you. When God is doing this work, he knows the power that he has sent forth. I want you to think about this. God spoke over a six-day period. And in those 6 days, everything that we know was created. Everything that we know. How much power is in the Word of God? How much power is in the word of healing that he speaks into your life? Do you think it's just meant for you? That healing is meant for others because it's going to reciprocate from you onto them, onto another, onto another, onto another. Because God's power is not reaching an end. God has no end, nor does his power. But it shall go on through all eternity. How do we know that? Jesus has spoken it. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass away, but the word of the Lord shall endure how long? Forever. So brothers and sisters, when God wants to restore, he's not just trying to restore me or you, but your hearers and all of those that you will share with throughout time. So he wants this thing to be known. He wants the glory to be shared. But you know, that can cause a problem, can it? Because we live in a society today, and it's places in our world where if people know you're a Christian, you can be hurt. You can be chastised. I mean, that's what's coming here in the United States today. We're called haters, okay? because we love God and we love others and we go, we're called haters. We're filled with hate speech because we won't accept their sin. Do you see how they've turned good into evil and evil into good? If I know your house is burning down, do you think I'm going to tell you while you're inside sleeping? Yes, I certainly hope so. You're going to wake me up and get me out. Oh, no, that would be hate because you were sleeping and I shouldn't wake you up. That's the premise that they're giving us. That's wrong. We all know that's wrong. If you're dying and going to hell, don't you think you ought to know that's happening? And that's what we're here to do, is teach and reach those very people. But again, we're going to get persecuted, and these things are going to come against us. Hence, Jairus. I want you to see what happens with his side of the story from 35 forward. Remember, God restores, but God also then glorifies. But God also honors from 35. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus overheard what was being spoken and said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And he entered in. He said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but is asleep." They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. He gave them strict orders, no one should know about this, and he said that something should be given her to eat. This story is entirely different. Jesus didn't take anybody in. In fact, he cast everybody out, didn't he? Why? What's going on here? Well, you see, God honors all of us, depending upon our situation. Here is this man. He's a synagogue official. Who were the people coming after Jesus? Who were the people that were trying to disprove him? Who were the people who were trying to kill him? The people of the religious class of the day. Well, here's this one. He believes. He goes to Jesus. He's going to be kicked out of the synagogue. He's going to be cast out. He's going to be criticized. He's going to be ostracized. And God says, no, don't worry about it. Just believe. Keep on believing. Come on, let's go. Because, you know, now he's been told that she's dead. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. She's not dead. She's just asleep. Now, does that mean Jesus was lying? No. Jesus never lies, because you see, he knew that little girl was in heaven waiting for the body to be resurrected. So the body was simply sleeping, in his opinion, because we're talking about a type of death that we shall see death no more, and we shall live forever. So we need to understand, he was talking about the resurrection that is yet to come. But Jesus knew that something was going to happen here in just a little bit, that she wasn't going to see that resurrection quite this time, but she'll see it the next time. However, God's going to simply wake this little girl's body up. He's going to put her back together and bring her up from that place, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and everything and everyone answers to him. And when she rose up, was there anybody there to counter the witness? No. Why? Because Jesus didn't want witnesses. Why? Because it would have dishonored this man. He'd have been cast out. He'd have been caused pain throughout his life because he believed and he received. So Jesus, who is God, honored this man, knowing that by his faith. That is why we're told in the scriptures, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Because there are times, brothers and sisters, when we don't need the accolades. He needs the accolades. He needs the accolades. Why? Because He is God. God will honor us. Are we going to honor God? Are we going to live for God? Are we going to change ourselves in such a way that everything we are from that moment forward is changed? I can tell you right now, Brother Jairus was changed forever. How do we know that? Let me ask you, every one of you who's been a parent, how affected are you when something happens to your child? You're more affected by that than what happens to you. God knows it because He gave up His Son. And God restored him. And God honored him. So too will He honor us. But we need to honor others. There are times when we just simply need to keep quiet about what's going on. Can I get an amen, brothers and sisters? That we need to honor each other. That you're going to be confided in with some things. Don't spread it around. It's not your position to spread it around. If Brother Jairus wants to tell a close friend, he may tell a close friend. But it's not your job nor my job to be spreading these things around. Because we don't know the hurt that we may be causing. But yet, we'll react in such ways because it's about what I did. No, because we need to remember, you and I can't heal anybody. You and I cannot save anybody. Who does the healing? Who does the saving? The Holy Spirit, through the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, resurrection, and sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And you and I all know it. This is a truth we cannot avoid. But in that truth may we stand. So we need to help restore others, but we need to do it honorably where it needs to be honorably. There are times that we're told that we're to shout this stuff from the rooftops, amen? And we literally are. I mean, you know, we sing the songs. We worship the Lord, good and gracious, good and gracious. And great is the Lord. And we should sing them. But there are times and situations where we just need to be quiet and our praise needs to be internal. Why? Because through that glory, you're building your relationship. And God is showing you the truth of who He is and where we need to be subtly. There are times to walk boldly, and there are times to walk quietly. May we learn the difference between the two. Jesus here shows them to us, because God wants us to restore. He wants everybody to know, but He understands that there are times when this needs to be between you and Him, and in that, your life will glorify Him. Because you will take it out in another way as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is showing us so much through the Gospels. I pray we don't miss it because of the big picture, but that we dig into these words and see that life is meant to be a glory unto the Lord and an honor unto the Lord. We just simply have to determine where we use it. Because you know in your own life, how many of you have things you don't want everybody else to know about, but you want God to change them? May we know the difference, and may we as Christians hold to it that we protect those who need protected, but we glory with those who need to glory. Can I get an amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the fact that You do restore us and You bring glory to Your name. We also thank You, Father, that in times of humility, You honor us in very real and private ways. May we exemplify Your life, knowing the difference between the two, and may Your life flow through us for the purpose of salvation unto the many, according to Your plans and Your purposes. For the days are evil, Lord, and so many people want to build their own kingdom. It's not our kingdom, Lord, we know it. It's Yours. And may You grow it as You see fit, using each of us as a vessel unto the salvation of all who would come in Christ Jesus. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.